Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One thing I forgot to mention, you may have noticed it, but the next installment on reading through the Bible in 3 years, for the one for June, is available now. It's back on the mailboxes. So if you're doing that, go ahead and pick one of those up. If you're not, we still have these. You can get started anytime. Just saying. So this morning we observe the festival of the Holy Spirit. You know, we don't talk about him a lot. It's kind of one of my professors at the seminary called him the forgotten person of the Trinity. He seems to kind of take a back seat. We just don't talk about him a lot. Maybe as Lutherans we don't talk about him even less than other Christians at times. But it really does make sense, because who does the Holy Spirit talk about? Holy Spirit talks about Jesus, and that's who we're to talk about. So that's the work of the Holy Spirit. So that's one of the reasons why we just don't talk about him too much. The other thing is we're just uncomfortable with that Holy Spirit stuff. I mean, there's hands up in the air and all that stuff. Anyway, so at Pentecost, on Pentecost Sunday, we talk about the Holy Spirit. And of course, that was when Jesus sent the promised Comforter, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, who would guide his disciples by dwelling in them and to reveal God's will for them through his word. And we heard those events, the events of Pentecost again this morning, how the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples with power and how they proclaimed the gospel there in Jerusalem with great boldness. What many may not know is that Pentecost was actually a Jewish festival long before it became associated with the Holy Spirit. Now, although not as significant as Passover, Pentecost was one of the more important and joyous festivals in the Jewish calendar. The Jewish name for this festival was Shavuot, which means weeks. And sometimes as you're reading the Gospels, every now and then they'll talk about the festival of weeks or that kind of thing. That's what they're talking about, is Shavuot, also known as Pentecost. This festival began at Passover, and it lasted 7 weeks, culminating on the 50th day. And so for those Jews that were kind of Hellenized, that were kind of more connected with the Greek world because they maybe didn't live in Jerusalem, it became known as Pentecost. On that day, Jews would come from all over to Jerusalem to offer the first fruits of the barley and wheat harvests. Now, people would come from near and far, and they'd join in the festivities, even if they weren't farmers, even if they weren't bringing produce, the wheat and the barley, because this was such a joyous event. So on that first Christian Pentecost, Jerusalem would have been crowded with pilgrims. Little did they know that when they came to celebrate God's goodness and bounty in providing a harvest of food, they would also observe a harvest of some 3,000 people as the Holy Spirit brought forth the fruit of faith in the crucified and risen Savior. But the events of Pentecost have actually disturbed me just a bit. Not for any of those other reasons that I mentioned earlier. The Pentecost event certainly is exciting. Would have been incredible to have heard that sound of like a rushing wind as the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, to have seen his presence in those tongues of fire that appeared to rest on them, and to have heard those disciples proclaiming the good news of forgiveness through Jesus in many languages, the languages of those who had come from near and far, languages that they didn't even have to learn but were given by the miraculous power of God. Here's what troubles me about that event. It's not the way God has shown himself to me. You know, I'd like something like that to have happened. If it did, it would be awfully hard to doubt Christ's presence or whether God was truly with me. But it didn't happen that way to me. And I would guess that it probably didn't happen that way to many of you either. You know, I think we all have a desire for things out of the ordinary. And as described in the Bible, Pentecost certainly serves that up. But as we look at our lives, we may be tempted to say, but that hasn't happened to me. Why can't my life, why can't my experience of God be like that? Gene Edward Veith wrote a book, wrote a number of books, but The Spirituality of the Cross, The Way of the First Evangelicals. Again, a very excellent book. If you haven't read it, I'd really encourage you to do that. But in that book he writes, many of us are searching for some kind of spiritual life, even though we're not always clear about what that means. We yearn for a sense of the transcendence, and yet we always come crashing down to earth. The various mysticisms make grandiose promises of enlightenment and spiritual empowerment, but there's no living happily ever after. Mundane life intrudes. Work, family pressures, practical responsibilities, hurting, and failures all have a way of breaking the spiritual mood. Churches would seem to be custodians of spiritual reality, but they often don't seem particularly spiritual either. They often seem mundane too. The whole round of preachers, sitting in the pew, going to fellowship dinners, all of this can seem so ordinary. One would think that spirituality would be rather more spectacular. Veith speaks to me when he writes that. And I believe he speaks to many of us. Church seems so mundane, so common. Some would even say so boring. We all crave something to shake us up, to shake us out of our normal lives. And Pentecost seems to be just the ticket. But as the book of Acts describes it, Pentecost was a one-time event. We don't read of other times when the disciples were shaken by the wind or set on fire by the Spirit in this way. What we read from here on out is that the disciples went on to live out their lives and to tell about Jesus and to suffer as a result. We read that many other people came to faith, but not in this particular way. So this morning, on this Pentecost Sunday, let's consider Jesus' words from our gospel lesson. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who had believed in him were to receive. Jesus is talking about you and me when he says, if anyone thirsts. We're thirsty. We want to know that our life has meaning. We want a strong and vital relationship with God. We want to know that he is real, that he loves us. We want peace and hope and confidence. Do we thirst? I think we do. And Jesus even gives us the answer to the problem. He tells us how to quench our thirst. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Believe in Jesus and you will thirst no more. He will satisfy your longing and your need. But we say that's too easy. I believe, but I'm still thirsty. I have faith in Jesus, but it just doesn't seem to be enough. There has to be more. Where's my Pentecost? I think we're a lot like four men who were talking one day, and one man said, "I will not believe anything if I don't understand it." And two of the other men agreed with him. But the fourth spoke up and said, "Gentlemen, on my ride this morning, I saw some geese in a field eating grass. Do you believe that?" "Oh, certainly, certainly." "And I saw some pigs eating grass. Do you believe that?" And all of them, "Yeah, we believe that." He said, "I also saw some sheep and cows eating grass. Do you believe that?" "Of course," they replied. "Well, according to the marvelous working of God's creation, the grass was turned into feathers on the backs of the geese, into bristles on the backs of the swine, into white wool on sheep, and into hair on cow. Do you believe that, gentlemen?" "Well, certainly," they all said. And then the fourth man said, "Do you understand how that happens?" And after a pause, the three replied, "Well, we don't quite understand how it happens, but we believe that it's true." And the fourth man replied, "Gentlemen, that's the nature of faith. There are things in this world that we take so for granted, but we may have no understanding how they happen. Yet we accept them just as they are. And these things are truly miraculous events. Feathers and bristles and hair. And if it weren't so common, if it weren't so typical, so mundane, we'd marvel at the fact that they happen at all. But when it comes to spiritual matters, we want more. We want it to be different somehow." In that same book, Veith declares that Christianity is spirituality for real life. He wrote this. He said, "Many Christians are often disappointed in actual churches because they hold impossible ideals and have an inadequate theology of ordinary life. As C.S. Lewis says, Christians often think of the church in terms of togas, and sandals." I'm not wearing sandals. "Christians often think of the church in terms of togas and sandals rather than everyday human beings like themselves." But you see, that's exactly what our Christian faith is all about. It's about ordinary things with extraordinary impact. A splash of water and a few words, and a person is reborn into God's family. A bit of bread and a sip of wine, and God declares all of our sins forgiven. Our faith is so ordinary, so everyday. But that's just the point. God comes to us in ordinary, everyday ways so that we might take our faith from here and live it in our ordinary lives out there. Truth is, Jesus didn't tell us the whole story. We hear his words, and we think that he means that when we believe in him, everything will be done. Everything will be tied up in a nice little bow. Everything will be finished. And in one sense, it really is. When we believe in him, we have everything we need. By faith in Jesus Christ, we're connected to that source of living water, and it flows within us, and our eternity in heaven is guaranteed. But in another sense, when we drink from him and taste the life that he has to offer, we become even thirstier than before. You might say he gives us a divine dehydration. The Spirit whom we received when we came to faith causes us to want more of the life that he has to offer. And this thirst will continue throughout our lives. The more we have of Christ, the more we want. That's the nature of a living faith. The more we have, the more we want. So you might almost say in some way, our dissatisfaction with our lives of faith can also be a sign of spiritual health. The truth is, until we get to heaven, we're going to continue to grow and continue to struggle and continue to want God more and more vital and alive and with us every day. But we won't get it We won't get it by Pentecost, by wishing for that Pentecost experience. Not if we define that experience as rushing wind and tongues of flame. Now, God may give you a Pentecost experience. He may have given you a Pentecost experience. He may come and reveal himself in some miraculous, some marvelous way. But if he doesn't, and if he hasn't, don't think he isn't with you or that he doesn't love you. Rather, do what he says. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Or, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Or, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's not really extraordinary. It's all very ordinary. It's all very doable. Jesus simply asks us to continue to drink from him in the ordinary ways he offers. Worship him. Pray to him. Trust in him. Thirst for him. Serve others in his name. The more we drink from Christ, the more vital and living our relationship with him will become. If we seek him in his word, devote ourselves to him in our prayers, live for him by putting to death our own desires and seeking his will, the peace and the joy he offers, his streams of living water, can and will be ours. It really is just that simple. Amen.